Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to the TrueCast. I am Dr. True and the host. This is my podcast. And, well, this is the first ever episode or anything of, of everything I've ever done that I record. So, I'm gonna be a bit amateur? I'm gonna be an amateur. But, yes. So this podcast, since it's the first episode, we should be talking about what to expect, probably. My focus will be, if possible, on being funny, if I can. Taking inspiration from the Funny Brothers, they're my main inspiration for wanting to do a podcast. Super mega, go look them up. But, yeah, that is my first inspiration. And I want to do a podcast with the least amount of editing possible. Well, mostly because I don't know how to do it. But regardless of that, I do want it to be as genuine as possible. And I do think you can, you know, achieve more genuinity. And sorry guys, English is not my first language. I think you can tell by my accent. But yeah, I do think you can make a more genuine podcast, a video, it could be anything. If you only do the exact, you know, minimum that you need of editing, I think you'll get something more genuine. So, want to be genuine, I want to be funny. Maybe I'll tell you interesting stories about something I just learned recently. I don't know, every now and then I will get something from Wikipedia popping up, or that's just an example. It could be a cool YouTube video. I will learn something, maybe do some research and I'll learn, and then I will want to share it. This, I feel like, is a place for that as well. Maybe we can all learn something. I do think, here's the good thing about podcasts, you do get to express yourself, and I'm gonna be honest, I really like talking, so I really like expressing myself, yeah. Now, I will say, there will be still some editing every now and then, mostly because, I'm not that experienced. I will have some moments of dead air, I think that's how you say it, that's what you say, moments where I'm not saying anything at all. I think even for more experienced people, that is, yeah, that can happen, but especially for me, I guess. I do love talking, so usually I will have something to say, but maybe I do need to think about what I want to say, how I want to say it. Maybe I will say something, I won't like how I said it, and then I will re-record it. I am a bit of a perfectionist, I will say. But still, overall, I want to keep things as natural as I can. Also, I do need to learn how to, avoid breathing into the mic, making mouth sounds. I don't know if that is picked up by the microphone. I'm assuming it is. I will look into effects for the microphone, maybe lowering very high notes, because every now and then I do realize I'll say something very loudly. And other times, I will say something very, very quietly, and so I will need to boost that up. So I will look into effects as well. Yeah, I am a bit of a perfectionist, but here's the thing. I also believe that even if you don't have the skills to do something correctly and all good like that, you should still try it. Because I think otherwise you're never gonna do it. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry, I've had discussions about this with friends. You know, you start the Twitch channel, which by the way I did in the past, but never really went anywhere. But, you know, you start a Twitch channel and start making live streams, and then you have to publish shorts on Instagram and YouTube and do reels and all of that. Publicize yourself on Twitter, which now is X, and TikTok. And that is good, guys. That is very good advice, to be fair. It's very good to, make yourself public. Get in the public eye. Get people to see you. It's good. But it is a bit overwhelming, I'll be honest. I think a lot of people would agree with me on this. It is really overwhelming when you're starting and you don't exactly know what to do, how to do it, but you're already thinking, oh, I gotta be doing this perfectly, I gotta be doing this and that other thing as well, and all of a sudden you got like 10 things to do all at the same time, and it becomes stressful, and so you don't do anything in the end. And see, I procrastinate a lot already. Even this podcast, guys, I've had the idea of doing this for, I don't know, at least a year now. Sometimes I'll think about doing it more, sometimes, you know, I cannot be bothered. There was a moment, see, I'm a big fan of podcasts because I like white noise in the background while I'm doing boring, more important stuff. If it doesn't require my whole attention, I do like to put something in the background. That's usually how I do things. Even cooking, it's a bit boring, I'll put a video in the background. And I did that for a long time. Then I discovered podcasts. Mostly, it was Super Mega that I discovered. I mentioned them before. And I really like their content. I do find them funny. Look, they're not like the funniest people ever. And the humor is pretty stupid sometimes. So that's kind of the point. I do laugh at how maybe stupid it all can sound. But yeah, I've liked their podcast and for a while I wanted to do it. Then there was a moment where they went on hiatus. There was a controversy. Look, this is, guys, this is old stuff anyway. If you want to look into it, you can as well. Obviously, I never support anything bad that happens. And so I was like, okay, well, they stopped. No point in looking at more videos because not gonna make any more. And so I wanted to do my own for a while. It was the kind of content I wanted to see. And so I thought I should create it myself. But in the end, I never did. And that thing always, you know, kept on staying with me. Oh, I still want to do it. And, you know, time passed. So much time that eventually, you know, everything about them got cleared. Well, they did do their mistake. Not here to talk about that. But, you know, things calmed down a bit. They ended up not being complete assholes. They just messed up. And eventually they came back. And by the time they came back, I still hadn't done anything. I did find a replacement for them. It was Brainlick, another good podcast by Jacksepticeye and Ethan Nestor, I think is his name. Look, go look at the podcast, see for yourselves. But that podcast, they don't do anything anymore. The project finished, I guess. No more Brainlick, and that was a replacement for a while. Then Super Mega, the Funny Brothers came back, but I still didn't get to do my podcast, and that's completely my fault, guys. I'll be honest, you know, it's my fault. I keep postponing stuff, and then I never do it. So this time I figured, you know what? I'll do it. I'll do it very simply. I'll just talk into the mic, and I'll just do what I want to do, and we'll keep it simple. No need to do excessive editing or anything like that. I'll just talk, and you know, one word will call for another word, and you know, before you even notice, I would have said complete sentence, multiple sentences, like now. And now I've been talking for a bit, and I think I do still need to get some pauses every now and then. Like I mentioned before, maybe I don't know what else to say, but I do think it's important that if there is something you want to do, you do need to try and do it. But yeah, that was a tidbit about me, I guess, and the origins of this podcast, the idea behind it. Most of the time, I think I'll just talk about what I like. And I know, obviously, there's nothing particularly special about me, I guess. It's all up to you in the end, the listener, whether you like me or not. Maybe you like the tone of my voice. Maybe you like my accent. You are allowed to find it sexy, don't worry. Tell all your friends, I'm very handsome too in real life, even though you don't see me right now, but I am handsome. And, well, yeah, maybe you'll find a reason to like me. And I'm, you know, I already have a reason to do this anyway. I already wanted to do the podcast. I want to express myself. And it's kind of liberating. Because, you know, even if you do understand that people might not even watch the video or listen to the podcast, but you still got to express yourself. You still put it in the public. So even if no one listened to those words, it's as if they did, because you did say those words. It's a bit hard to explain, I guess. It's something you gotta understand for yourself. You gotta try and feel it yourself. It was like that when I did streaming, for example, long time ago. And look, I didn't have any viewers, really. At most, I would have 2 or 3. And most of the time, when I even got to 5, it was my friends. So, you know, there weren't, like, actual viewers, like, new people. But it still felt liberating. I would still talk a lot while no one was listening, but it was still, in a way, liberating. I was getting my emotions out, my ideas, opinions, creativity. And I think that's what's cool about having some presence on the internet. Obviously, only some, because I do know that it can get very stressful. But at least doing something this simple, just a podcast, just talking about random stuff, I think this is pretty nice, you know? And yeah, I was talking in any case about this podcast. Why would you listen to it again? Maybe you're like me, my voice, it could be relaxing. Put it on the background, you know, the same way I do it. I cook, I'm bored, you cook, you're bored, put this podcast in the background. Why not? Another thing that is very important to me, I do put podcasts to sleep. They help me sleep a lot. Especially, you know, sometimes I'll have nightmares. Happens to everyone. And I'll wake up all panicked in the middle of the night. But hearing the funny brothers talking in the background all night, it helps me a bit. I wake up panicked, then I listen to their voice and just try to focus on them. Sort of like a form of meditation almost. But it's not just that. It's also, if you suffer from specific sleep problems, it will be good to have a voice in the background. See, for example, me, it seems like my sleep is very light, and sometimes it's like my brain doesn't shut off. Well, obviously not the brain, but like my body doesn't shut off completely. So, like, I will need some sort of stimuli all the time. If I don't have something in the background, I have these weird nightmares where I'm like half awake, sort of, you know, it's like waking up from my bed, but I try to get up and then I'm again in my bed. Maybe there's like weird monsters. It's sort of like sleep paralysis, except I'm not completely awake, but I'm not completely asleep either. It's complicated to explain, but guess what? Putting on podcasts did help. And since I started doing this, I really haven't had this much at all. So here's another reason why you will listen to my podcast. Of course, you can listen to anyone else's podcast as well, but it all comes to personal preference, doesn't it? But yeah, this is my podcast, and I'll be doing a bit of everything I just said. I'll just talk about random stuff, and if you like, you can listen, and I can keep you company. Well, we talked a bit about my intentions with the podcast, my goals, what I want to do with it, and why maybe you will want to listen to mine or anyone else's, why you will like podcasts in general if you're new. Talked about that. I figure, well, now we might as well talk a bit more about me. Because I am the host, you know, this thing wouldn't be existing without me, and I'm probably the whole, you know, the whole one and only reason why you guys are here right now. So I will say something about what I like. I'm not like, I feel like people tend to end up in groups if you want. You know, there's the anime fan, like, you know, the weeaboo. There's that guy who's the gamer, is really into video games. I guess I'm more of a gamer. I mostly like video games. But even then, I never really saw myself as fitting, like, in one exclusive group. Like, for example, I'll tell you this. I am a big fan of Five Nights at Freddy's. I need to get a refresher on the lore. The lore is very complicated. There's, like, tons of stuff. But I always liked it, but I never really participated in the fandom. I guess it just wasn't my kind of thing. I would watch a lot of videos or SFM animations. There was so many. I loved seeing the, you know how there's like anime music videos, AMVs, but these were done SFM. And obviously we're not anime, because it was FNAF. But yeah, I will watch a lot of that. FNAF songs with SFM videos. And, you know, I've been following it for years. And even if I do need a refresher on the lore, like I said, I do remember most things, you know, generally. But that is to say, even with FNAF, even, you know, something I've been following for years, I never been like obsessed with it. Like, obviously, you know, you have something you're very passionate about. There's nothing wrong. I do love when people are passionate about the stuff, you know, they like. But I think people tend to maybe be like a one-trick pony, if it makes sense. You know, they get too passionate about a single thing and completely, what's the term, you know, like, miss out on stuff. Oh my god, I hate when I don't have the English term. You know, they'll focus only on that thing. They'll focus, let's say, only on FNAF and miss out on Undertale or, Castlevania, a series I love. I used to play since a kid. So, yeah, even my interests, I'm not like overly obsessed on them. I do like to talk about things. I do get passionate, but you know, if I say I love FNAF, don't start, you know, expecting me to become some sort of FNAF YouTubers or anything like that. I think the internet is very extreme with their interests like that, and almost as if, you know, if you're not as extreme as other people with that specific thing, that specific group, then you're not part of the group, you're part of the tribe, and you're not cool and stuff. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. The point is, I think it's better to just enjoy what you enjoy, the level you enjoy it, I guess. Which also means, if you're obsessed, I'm encouraging you to be obsessed. Anyway, guys, let's keep it simple, just the moderate with the things you do and partake in. So yeah, like FNAF, but mostly I'm a gamer. I've seen animes as well. I'm not like a huge anime fan, but I did see a few that I liked. I liked Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, but I think that's, you know, something everyone likes if they just gave it a chance. It's pretty good. You know, story, dramas, a lot of drama, character development, interesting characters in general, the action scenes are good, there's a bit of everything, guys. There's political drama, there's like a revolution happening as well. It's very cool, I do recommend it. JoJo, been a fan of JoJo for years, but I think I'm not as much anymore. Like, I never followed the manga, again, with me liking something, but not really getting to certain levels, you know. I like, a piece of media, and often that's it. Even with music, I could say the same. I don't have like special, very specific music taste, not necessarily. I don't like rap music in general, but that's about it. Any other taste, usually I'm not particularly focused on. Even artists, maybe I'll like two or three songs of a guy and never listen to any other song they make. YouTubers too. Some YouTubers I go back, to be fair, but that's mostly because I put them in the background. I really love Super Mega, as I mentioned. I love Onyplays. I enjoy their kind of humor. And I like... There's this guy called The Librarian. He makes... well, it seems like he's really into urban exploration, but he makes... I discovered him making Gmod map exploring videos, to which I had some inspiration. I feel like I want to do something similar. Not copy him entirely, but there is, like... There are a few things in games in general that make me nostalgic and I want to share. And even in Gmod, I do remember there was a Mario Kart map that I played. I almost said mop. Mario Kart map I played in Team Fortress 2. And Mario Kart maps, guys, if you didn't know, if you didn't play Team Fortress 2, they were like a huge thing back then, like in 2012, if I remember right. I think that was the year, but they were huge. Lots of servers with them, lots of players, very casual. And it was a special Mario Kart map. It was like in nighttime, and there was like a secret passage where you could go to a house of chaos or something. I might make a video on it. I think I might. So I also, you know, played a lot of Team Fortress 2. I played many games. You know, growing up, my favorites were Crash Bandicoot, of which I really should play Crash Bandicoot 4. I never played it. I was so happy when it came back, even if I didn't play it. But I was happy because I was like, oh my god, this is the hero of my childhood. He's coming back after all these years. Abandoned IP. Now, you know, he's, well, not completely abandoned. But and the games they made weren't really that cool. Gex Crash Titans was alright, it was kind of fun to play, but then they made another one, which was kind of meh. But, yeah, Crash Bandicoot, Castlevania, huge fan of... But I will say, I'm not big on the classic Castlevanias. I like the more platform RPG ones, you know, starting from Symphony of the Night. Well, yeah, literally any Castlevania with RPG mechanics similar to that. You know, like the Nintendo DS Castlevanias, those were pretty good. And that's one series I like, yes. I was, for a long, long time, a big player of League of Legends. I played so much League of Legends. And, you know, at least I did play it with friends. But I did play a lot of it myself as well, like on my own. Look, League of Legends is not that bad. I think it's okay if you like it, but you have to recognize it's a very, very toxic game. It will make you mad, it will make you rage. And then you have to deal with other people that are also mad and raging. You know, they can ruin your day, and I don't know how much it's worth it in the end. That's why I abandoned it, and I still struggle to go back to it. Even if, you know, when I go back, I do like it, I do enjoy playing it. I just don't think it's worth it overall. You know, maybe there could be some other MOBA game that could be a bit less toxic. But maybe it might also be the genre itself. But yeah, was long time player of that. I played a lot of Yorick, a lot of Pantheon. Oh, I do have some nice memories about it. Apart from that, I was a very big player of World of Tanks as well. Back then, I remember when I was playing it as a kid, when I discovered it, I think it was 2011 or something, I had a very bad PC. And I had such low frame rates. I think I would play it on 20 FPS, which it's probably the limit of playability. If you go any lower than that, it's gonna be pretty much impossible. And it was already very hard to play on 20 FPS. Like, I was very bad at the game, but I'm not surprised. Couldn't even aim properly. But that fostered a strong passion for tanks, especially World War II. I loved tanks. A bit less now, but I used to be so obsessed. But I do think, you know, when you are a teenager, keep in mind I was like 11 and upwards, you know, I kept playing World of Tanks until maybe I was 17 or 18, on and off, not like 24/7. I do think when you're a teenager, your tastes change, and you are more likely to take something new, to start doing something new that you didn't before, and maybe fixate on that. And I do feel like to this day, still, like I used to play different, well, I did play different games as a kid, but I also do wonder if I had lower standards or something. I didn't know what to expect, so maybe there's a bit of that element too. As a kid, you don't really know what to expect. You don't know what's quality, you don't know what's, you know, what's really fun to you. And so you play a bit of everything. Then you start understanding more what you really like and what you don't as a teenager. Maybe, I don't know, you get more focused on specific things. I don't know. But yeah, I guess that's it about games. I have played quite a few of them. I'm sure they will come up even randomly, just like that, completely randomly, during other podcast episodes, or if I do decide to make YouTube videos, which I do kind of have some, you know, some will to try out. If I do them, oh, I said do, funny, but yeah, if I do YouTube videos, that might come up as well, might talk about those games. Another thing I really like is Western animation. As in, basically Cartoon Network cartoons. Not all of them, you know, some are like more, some less. I was really into Ben 10 when I was a kid, but I liked it better when it was Kid Ben 10. I should probably rewatch the later series when he was more like an older teenager. It does seem like that had stronger lore. Although at the same time, you know, Kid Ben 10 also had some nice lore in the first series. But yeah, Ben 10. But after that, my true favorite, I think, was Adventure Time. And initially, I would watch it in my native language, which is Italian. So I watched, you know, every Italian episode I could get my hands on by watching. I didn't even have access to Cartoon Network. We do have Cartoon Network in Italy, but I think you have to pay premium. And just you know, my parents didn't pay for that, so no Cartoon Network for me, I guess. And yeah, I would watch Adventure Time later on as an adult. Was like, well, not adult, I think I was 16 when I found it again. My English was already a little better. I did watch a lot of Steven Universe in English. I saw one episode in Italian and I thought, hey, it's kind of cool. And so I watched a lot of it. In the end, I watched all of it in English. But if you guys ever saw Steven Universe, it took like ages and it went on hiatus all the time. So ages to finish it. English got better, so then later on, maybe I was 17 or 18 or something, I came back to it. I came back to Adventure Time, and I love the weird American outdated words they use, you know. Like, I'm sure no one in the USA still says math or radical or something like that. I think it does add a lot of personality to the show. So yeah, I watched all of it, and to this day it's still one of my favorites of all time. I am rewatching it at the moment, and it's kind of nice after this much time. If you rewatch something, you do notice extra things about it. You know, it's like you're finding new content in old content. It's very nice. It's very fun, and yeah, it makes you feel like it gives you that sense of discovery all over again. That's the best part. Sense of discovery that I do feel like sometimes, you know, I think, oh, when I was a kid, everything was magical. And now, as an adult, I'm 24 now, I guess things are less magical in a way. But I still try to keep my sense of wonder, still try to analyze stuff, for example. Why analyze? Because we come back to Five Nights at Freddy's. The reason why I loved it so much back then, when it was coming out, there was this weird lore. I discovered Game Theory. Is that the name of the channel? Yes, Game Theory, not the series. But, I mean, maybe they both have the same name. I mean, you know, MatPat. I'm talking about MatPat. Yeah, the channel is Game Theory. It's technical style theory and all the other theories, film theory. Anyway, MatPat. Yes, I discovered MatPat. And I will binge his videos whenever he will upload a video, I will watch them. And that sort of put me in kind of that, in that mood of theorizing about Five Nights at Freddy's. That's why I was such a big fan. But I will just keep it between me and my friends, really. Like I was saying, I didn't really participate online. It wasn't like, I don't know. But maybe it's not even about being obsessed with it. Like, and I say obsessed, but I don't really mean it in a negative way. I just can't remember a more positive word with a better connotation right now. Passionate, I guess. I can say passionate. But maybe it's not really just about passion. It's just about me, I don't know, being shy, not wanting to post online. And yet, look at me now. I'm recording this podcast with, you know, the intent of, you know, publishing it online. But yeah, I divert from main topic so much. I digress too much, probably. I ramble on and on. We were talking about FNAF. And, you know, the sense of wonder and discovery. After that, after starting to watch those videos, I started to analyze FNAF. And that's what got me into it. I remember when FNAF 3 was coming out, and I was excited for it, and I was discussing it with my friend. I was like, oh my god, do you see how that new animatronic twitches in the trailer? That Springtrap in the trailer, you know, it's twitching, convulsing. I was like, oh, that's probably like a human. That's gonna be, I heard it's the human that committed the murders that's inside the suit. That means, you know, it's cool and it's harder because now it's human and the human makes mistakes. It's not like predictable like a machine. And in all of this, guys, please don't hate me. But I never even played the actual games. It was just about watching YouTube gameplays, watching theories, especially that, theorizing myself. And, well, that thing about theorizing kind of carried over. To this day, when I watch stuff, especially if it's supposed to be mysterious, I do love some good theorizing. Yeah, you know what? I should make theories in my channel. Yeah, why not? Actually, that's a good idea. I just need to figure out what theories, and I need to say things that it's actually smart and not dumb, I guess. And not to mention that it's more editing to do, but maybe I can learn that on the way. I guess this channel might be like my personal journey of growth. And if I do not end up doing much, I don't know, I guess I got the funny podcast. I am very self-aware about stuff. So that's why I keep saying it. Anyway, again, digressing. I keep my sense of wonder, and even with Adventure Time, rewatching it, I discover new stuff, and it's cool. And sometimes I'll see parts of the show I didn't remember about, and it's kind of like rediscovering them. And maybe I notice these small details I didn't before, and then I can start making theories about it. I can start going, oh, you know, I wonder if this bad guy was doing this or so. I don't have like a proper example right now in my mind, but yeah, that now you know one more aspect of my personality. I do like to analyze stuff. I always did, to be fair. It's just now I analyze media because I think that's fun. But what I did for most of my life and still do is overanalyze very innocent stuff that happens on daily life. You know, like, let's say I'm working, right? And I drop a plate or something, and you know, I'll start thinking, oh my god, that was so bad, that was so fucking bad, oh, that's terrible. By the way, I'm not against swear words. I will say swear words, but I will mostly be family friendly, I guess. That was my only swear word of the whole podcast. Yes, no more, probably. I don't know, I don't want to undermine my humor by being too family friendly. I'm already polite enough. And I will analyze that stuff for like maybe the entire day. You know, I'll be like, oh, I should have done this other thing. Oh my god. Oh, I should have just smiled so it wouldn't have looked as bad. You know, again, overanalyzing stuff. But I do feel like a lot of people suffer with this. I did say a lot. We're getting close to my target of 40 minutes. I do think 40 minutes is a decent time for the podcast. That's at least 40 minutes of recording. Okay, I don't know yet if it's gonna last any longer or shorter or whatever. Keep in mind, I still got sort of experiment with music as well. You know, like an opening track, an ending, you know, to the video, podcast, these kind of things. So everything is still very experimental. Even this first episode, in a way, was very experimental. I hope it wasn't boring. I hope you found me at least a little bit interesting, or at least a little bit charismatic. And, you know, just in general, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And yeah, I'll catch you later. I'll catch you on the next podcast.